Good to see you all out showing your love for the Lord on Valentine's Day. And we want to talk a little bit about that love this morning. You know, noticing for a couple of weeks now, past few weeks, we've had four men up here serving the Lord's Supper, kind of help things go smoother to have two going down the middle so they can pay attention. I remember though when I first came, we all sat over here on this side and we only had two men that served the Lord's Supper. So either we're spreading out more or we've got more than we used to have. I'm not swelling a little. It's probably all that water. We're just waterlogged maybe. I don't know. All that rain we've been having, swelling us up. But it is good to see and to have enough men to be doing that. I know there's been a few times where the same couple of folks did the opening prayer and the Lord's Supper and the singing and the prayers and the scripture reading, and it was not but about two or three men to do those things. So it's good to see it, to have that number to be able to do those things, and appreciate everyone's the men's willingness to be involved. I know some congregations where there may be plenty of men, but they won't do anything. You got two men that do everything, and you got 12 men that sit out there and watch everything be done. So I appreciate our men being willing to get up and participate and to help lead our worship to God. You know, we hear on almost a daily basis about tragedies. I know, again, just this, you know, this week here with the shooting up in Huntsville at the college there, and you know, just the week before that they had another shooting up there near there at one of the middle schools, and of course all over the country these things go on, and then you have like the earthquake down in Haiti, and you have tornadoes, and heard about some that died from the snowstorms that we had this past a couple of weeks as well all over the country. And then, you know, the Olympics started out, the fellow in the training, he wasn't even in the event yet, but just training for the event, and he was killed. And it's like the tragedies seem to be happening all the time around us. And we think about those things, and we pray for the people who were involved in these various different tragedies. But I want us to think this morning a little bit about one of the great spiritual tragedies that are occurring all around us. You know, it's Valentine's Day, and as we think about love, and you know, people may think of great love stories, and may think about Romeo and Juliet, and you know, all those, and how miserably that ended, even though they loved each other, they couldn't be together, and they wound up, should I spoil the end of it? I know it's brand new. It's only been around for 400 years or so, but you know, they both wind up dead, you know, before they even get a chance to get started. And you know, we think, wow, what a sad story, what a tragedy. And Shakespeare wrote several tragedies of that nature. But we think about those things that happen. I heard this morning about a school that's refusing to let the children hand each other anything for Valentine's Day because they say those young grade school children, they're too young, too emotionally unstable to handle rejection and things. I don't know about you. I remember when I was in grade school and we all made a little Valentine's box, and then on Valentine's Day, or if it was on a weekend like this, it would have been Friday before. You know, everybody bring their Valentines and put them in the boxes. Now, I don't know if you'll believe this or not, seeing how famous and popular I am today, but when I was a kid in school, I was always one that didn't get very many. The only Valentines I got were from the kids who had to bring one for everybody in the class. Now, there was always some of the kids, their parents would make them bring one for everybody. And there'd be one of the boys that would have his box crammed full because every girl brought him two, you know. And I would have about three from those three kids whose parents made them bring everybody one. That was kind of disappointing, kind of sad. And I remember as a youngster had a crush on a girl and she didn't know I existed. She had a crush on my best friend. So maybe some of you had a similar type of situation that you liked somebody, they didn't like you, they liked somebody else. And we call that unrequited love, where you love somebody that doesn't love you back. But when we think about spiritual tragedies, the greatest spiritual tragedy that there is when God's love goes unrequited. There is no greater love in this universe than the love of God. And when He loves someone and they don't love Him back, that's the greatest tragedy there is. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, is that spiritual tragedy of those who do not return God's love as they should. We talked with the Lord's Supper this morning, and I appreciate Ron reading that scripture and helping us to focus our minds on those things that Christ did for us and that His Father did for us in sending Him to die on that cross. And that love story. You want to talk about a great love story? I mean, you know, there was one called Love Story, and there was the West Side Story, and there was Romeo and Juliet, and there's all these, and you go back to the Bible in Ruth and Boaz, that's a beautiful story. But the greatest love story of all is the story of God's love for us in sending Jesus, His own Son, to die for us. And of Jesus loving us enough that He was willing to come and do that. You know, He could have said, you know, I'll tell you what, Father, let's not worry about it. Let's just let them go, because they're not worth it. And yet the Bible tells us that God showed His love for us, His great love for us, because while we were sinners, while we were rebellious against Him, that's when He showed His love for us. But unfortunately, there are many who don't return God's love. And we're going to look at five reasons that people don't return God's love. And these are five great spiritual tragedies, because here is God's love, the greatest love in the universe, freely available to anyone. And yet there are five reasons that people will miss out on experiencing that love. The first is ignorance. There are a lot of people who will miss out on God's love because they're just ignorant of His love. They don't know. No one's told them. You know, we see in the religious world, and when I say religious world, I don't mean the denominational world, I mean in the world of world religions, we see people who believe in all sorts of gods. And many of their gods are not kind and loving God. They're mean and cruel and spiteful and very flippant about how, you know, what they believe these gods to be is frightening. If you go back and you read the Greek myths or the Roman myths, and you see how they had invented these gods who had all of the same flaws and all of the same problems that people had. And it was a mess. You never knew what to do to please them. Because today they might like this and tomorrow they might not like that. They might want something different. They were very fickle. And it was an odd thing. And then you have the Muslims who have invented a God who wants you to kill everybody. With this Allah is happy when you blow yourself up and kill innocent people. So when we think about the love of God, we've got to realize in the religious world, in the world at large, it's an unusual concept and one that people have difficulty grasping and one that a lot of people have never heard about. Oh, they've heard about God and maybe they've even heard about Jesus, but they don't understand the love of God and the love that Jesus has for them. And it's our responsibility to get that love out there, to show others that love. Of course, one of the ways we do that is by allowing that love to live in our lives and showing that love to others so that they can see Christ's love, God's love living in us. But ignorance is a spiritual tragedy. Hosea chapter 4, There are several times in the book of Hosea in chapter 4 that God talks about the problems that they were having. In verse 1, He says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Do you realize that our society is becoming just like that? The church today is no bigger than it was 100 years ago. And yet our country is far larger than it was 100 years ago. Our country 100 years ago may have had 100 million people. Now we have 300 million. And yet there are the same number of Christians spread throughout that larger number of people. That's a problem. That means there are more and more people who have no knowledge of God that live in our land. And that's a problem. Verse 6. God says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." And God warns the people, if you keep shunning my love, if you choose ignorance, you choose to reject the knowledge, I'm gonna reject you too. God is patient, loving, and long-suffering. But there's a limit. Unless you're unusual, there was probably a time in your life where you liked somebody that didn't give you the time of day. Most of us have experienced that at some time or another in our lives. We went through that. How long do you keep waiting and hoping? How long do you keep chasing that person, hoping they'll pay attention to you? At what point do you decide, you know what, enough of that, I'm going to go find somebody else that cares about me? Somebody that'll notice me and at least say hello to me and not stick up their nose and pretend I don't exist? Well, how long do you think God is going to just sit by waiting and patiently loving us and getting no love in return? Getting no acknowledgement, not even us acknowledging that He exists or that He's involved in our lives. How long do you suppose He's going to just wait for us to come around? He's not going to wait forever. Now, you know, if you really love somebody, you give them some time. You'll be patient with them. But at some point, you reach the end of the rope and you just say, no more. I've got to move on. And God will move on. And that's what He promises the people here. If you continue to refuse me, if you continue to reject me, at some point, I'm gonna move on. And I'm going to forget about you and I'm going to go on. And that's exactly what was happening in the first century. They came to the Jews first. They were God's people. But the Jews rejected Christ. And Paul finally said, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet. I'm not going to the Jews anymore. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. They will listen. They will learn about God. They will love God. And you won't do it. So we've got to realize what a danger ignorance was. Israel, because of their ignorance, was allowing sin. They were sliding backwards. They had even forgotten their Maker, chapter 8 and verse 14 says. Well, that sounds a lot like our society, doesn't it? Those of us who still believe in a God who created this world are laughed at and mocked as ignorant fools or country bumpkins or some other terminology that's not as polite as those things even. Because, well, you believe that God made all this? Well, they've rejected it. They've forgotten their Maker. Ignorance is killing us. Ignorance is destroying any chance of a relationship with God that we may have. And we've got to fight that ignorance. We have to enlighten people. Help people to come to the knowledge of the love of God. Secondly, there's indifference. You know, there are some people who know God, but they just don't care. You know, I'm sure we've seen that, where one person was just madly, madly in love with. The other one was like, well, you know, let's be friends. You know, we'll just hang out, we'll be friends, but, you know, I don't like you that way. Been there, seen that a few times. Had some friends cry on my shoulder because that was happening to them. But sometimes we do that with God, too. We just show Him some indifference. We don't, you know, yeah, oh, yeah, thanks, God. Glad you sent Jesus to save us. We're glad about that. Now, let me get on with my life. I don't want to make too much of it. Don't want to be a religious fanatic or anything. Just, you know, let it go. I'll enjoy my life. Glad you did that. No. Indifference is a tragedy. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. You see the church in Laodicea. They were lukewarm. They were indifferent. They should have had a good, loving relationship with God, but instead, they thought everything was okay. They didn't realize there was even a problem. In Matthew 25, when Jesus tells the parable of the talent, the man who was given the one talent, now he didn't lose his talent, he didn't go gamble it away or go spend it on drugs or anything like that. He kept that one talent and he gave it back to the master when the master came back. He was just kind of indifferent. He was kind of lazy about it. Do you know what Jesus calls that fellow? He says, "You're wicked." Well, wait, I gave you back. I gave you back what you gave to me. How am I wicked? He's wicked because he was just indifferent. He was lazy. He was slothful. He was unprofitable. You know, when we have a relationship with someone, we want that relationship to be profitable. We want to help make that person better. We want them to help make us better. We want to lift each other up. That's the purpose of those relationships. But we have relationships with some people that are unprofitable relationships. Well, God has a lot of relationships like that, where He loves and He loves and He loves, but it's unprofitable for Him. He gets nothing in return. Nothing but indifference. Indifference is a tragedy. Instead of indifference, we are supposed to be zealous of good works, Titus 2:14 tells us. We've got to be diligently serving God, not just indifferent to it. And well, if, you know, if something lands in my lap, that's fine, but I'm not going to go out looking for it. So we've got to think about how we can go about making our relationship with God better. He's doing all He can do from His side. If there's a problem in the relationship, it's on our side. We're the ones at fault. That's not so much true with our relationships with other human beings. Usually when we're having problems with our relationship with other human beings, we're both a little to blame. There's a little fault here and a fault here, and we get those two faults together, and that's a problem. But when it comes to God, all the problems are on our side of the relationship. The third thing that's a spiritual tragedy, sometimes instead of loving God, people love things. We call that materialism. Materialism's a tragedy. I know we don't think of it that way. We think of, oh, that's a beautiful car. Oh, that's a beautiful house. Oh, look at those lovely clothes you've got on. Oh, those are nice shoes. That's a nice hat. So, you know, oh, look at this jewelry. All of these things. Oh, look at that. That's wonderful. But when we put those things in our lives ahead of God, and we aren't loving Him, but instead we're loving those things, that's a tragedy. That's a case of unrequited love. God loved us to the fullest of His ability, and we turn around and instead of loving Him, we love the things that He gave us. Have you ever known anybody like that? You give them something, and they love that thing. They love it more than the person that gave it to them. See that all the time. Maybe somebody gets somebody a pet, maybe a cat or a dog, whatever it may be, and they love that pet more than they love the person that gave it to them. Maybe you get somebody a car, and they love the car more than the person that gave it to them. Maybe you get somebody a diamond ring or a diamond necklace. Oh, they love that. In fact, I've found most of the time when people have gotten married and got a big diamond ring, when they get divorced, they want to keep that diamond ring. Because they love that diamond ring. They don't love the person that gave it to them anymore, but they still love that diamond ring. We're that way with God a lot of times. He blesses us with blessings upon blessings upon blessings, and instead of loving Him, we focus all of our attention on the things He's given us. He blesses us to have a car. And so we go out Sunday, and instead of coming to worship Him, we go out Sunday morning and we're washing and waxing our car. He gives us the ability to get a house. And so instead of coming to worship Him or going out to serve Him or using that house to host somebody, to have fellowship with others or to bring have a Bible study with somebody, instead of that, we get upset and make sure you wipe your shoes because if you get any mud on my carpet. I remember one movie where the husband and wife were arguing about the house and they had gotten new carpet and the father was worried that the boy had gotten some paint or glue or something on, might have gotten it on the carpet and the mother was saying, oh no, we had newspaper down, whatever. And then in their prayers then, she kind of mockingly toward him said, and Lord, we thank you for this carpet that we're allowed to walk on, and we hope that it'll be a beacon of light to all who come after us for years to come. And she was a little sarcastic about it, and may not have had the best attitude, but I think he got the point that, you know, the carpet, that's what we put carpet down for, is to walk on. You know, with our dirty feet, you know, that's what it's there. It's soft, it's nice, but it's to walk on. And it's not so valuable. We need to get straight that instead of loving things and using people, we need to use things and love people. We got to get that right because we get it mixed up sometimes. Materialism is a tragedy. In Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21, the rich young ruler couldn't bring himself to sell the things he had, even to save his soul. And there are a lot of Americans who are in that exact same boat. What if you needed to give up a higher paying job for a lower paying job so you could save your soul? Would you do it? What if you needed to sell a big house and move into a smaller house, or you know, sell a house and move into a trailer? Or what? Would you do it to save your soul? I mean, we're in this country, we're all about moving up. We never think about moving back down. Sometimes we need to change our perspective. Materialism is a danger. We need to never forget that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And then fourth, we see immorality. Oh, what a tragedy it is when God shows His love for us and He gives us these guidelines and rules and commands to help us. That's why He gives us those things. And we turn around and we reject His morality and we choose our own and we do whatever is right in our own eyes. In Judges, two times, and at the beginning of the book and at the end, it says, well, there wasn't a king at that time and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I was talking to someone last night about that very thing. If who's going to decide what's right and wrong? We're going to take a vote on it? Or do you get to decide what's right for you and I'll decide what's right for me? How are we going to do that? Look at the tragedy in David's life because of his immorality. He was separated from God by his sin. He had to get back to God as a result of that. And an innocent man was killed. A child died, and his enemies laughed at him and at God because of his immorality. When we love sin more than we love God, that's a tragedy. We have the wrong love in our life. Imagine, if you will, the person that you loved and you committed yourself to loved a prostitute more than they loved you. That's what Hosea. Oh, Hosea had his wife Gomer. Loved her, went and got her, brought her, bought her out of prostitution. She went right back to it. She loved being a prostitute and selling herself to other men more than she loved her own husband, who wanted to protect her from that and care for her. And we're the same way with God sometimes. He brings us away from Satan, buys us from that slavery, redeems us, frees us. And then what do? As soon as we get a chance, we go running right back. Like a pig returned to wallowing in the mud, or like a dog returning to the vomit. Then the fifth and final thing is procrastination. Oh, what a tragedy that is for us. You know, there are a lot of good people who will miss out on heaven, miss out on experiencing the love of God, because they just waited too long. You ever waited too long and missed a sale? You ever waited too long and missed the chance to have a relationship with somebody? I know when I was in high school, there was a girl who would always be real friendly with this other friend of mine. And then whenever he would get a girlfriend, then she'd complain, "Oh, I wanted to be his girlfriend. Oh. Well, then she'd give up and she'd go and get her a boyfriend. About that time, he'd break up with his girlfriend, but then she wouldn't leave. You know, and it was just back and forth like that, all over and over again. They just kept missing each other. They waited too long. They missed their opportunities. How many times do we miss opportunities because we waited too long? Sometimes in the case of evangelism, we wait too long. Sometimes in the case of obedience to God. You remember the convenient season in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. "Oh, when there's a convenient season, I'll call for you." Never got that call. Paul never came back to teach anymore on those topics. Waited too long. It's a tragic thing when we know what we ought to do to please God, but we don't do it. We wait too long. Jesus said, "Oh, to Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets, how often I would have brought you under the protection of my wings as a hen, a mother hen does her chicks, but you would not." There will be billions on the day of judgment who will be ready then to obey God. But it's too late. They missed the chance. And the gate is closed. There are certainly tragedies in our physical world all around us. But the greatest tragedies of all are the spiritual tragedies. The tragedies of missing out on God's love and of having a relationship with Him. If you're here this morning and you've missed out on that up to this point, don't make the mistake of allowing it to go on. You don't know when it might be too late. You might miss out. If you're here and you've allowed ignorance to keep you from God, learn. Study His Word and learn of Him. Don't make that mistake. If you've allowed indifference to be a problem, get some zeal back into your life. If you've allowed things to get in the way, reject the love of things and get back to the love of God. If you've allowed sin into your life to overcome you, don't allow that to remain that way. Get that sin out of your life, get the immorality out, and put God's morality in place as your standard. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.